build up in him. Or we could say it this way. Because, by the way, it's a play on words. It's the same word. Or we could say it this way. In him dwelleth, I got to say it in a different way. He is completely all that God is, and you are complete in him. So it's very important to understand what we have in Christ. My title this morning is Complete in Christ or Incomplete in Self. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessing this morning on this Sunday school hour. May this be a profitable time as we consider the implications of the Word of God in one very, very small area of child rearing and being parents and being grandparents. And if we're none of the above, teachers, mentors, people that have decided that we're going to go through life thinking about more than ourselves, but maybe we're going to try to encourage others. Maybe we're going to be one of those people that actually adds something to a young person's life rather than ignores the young person. Help us today to hear, we ask, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll begin by talking about the blue-haired girl. By the way, nobody in here has blue hair, I'm making sure. Some of you don't have hair, so that's not a problem. Saw a young lady, had blue hair. What do you make of somebody that has blue hair? She not only had blue hair, she had earrings, I guess. But they looked more like staples, and it looked like somebody's staple gun went crazy. She had them from here all the way around. Dozens and dozens and dozens of, I mean, I've never seen as many piercings in ears in my life. She had them on the outside, she had them on the inside, and she had some other things in other places. Now, as a parent, I'm only speaking as a parent. I'm not even going to comment on if this is right or wrong because that doesn't interest me. That interests you, doesn't interest me at all. When I see this, what do you think? What do you think about a girl with blue hair? By the way, she had all kinds of paraphernalia. I mean, it was a highly, to use technical language, affected behavior. Now, if you're a fun damn mentalist, you know, no fun, too much damn and not much mental, you only got one option, and these are in your notes. I don't know exactly how I wrote them. To some, and this is one, she's a rebel. Fact of the matter is, if you come from that fun damn mentalist background, pretty much everybody you know is a rebel except you. That's how you view people. Man, this person is a rebel. By the way, if you're a teacher in a school for 15 minutes, unless you only think like this, you recognize this girl's anything but a rebel. Oh my goodness, that's the last thing she is. But for some Christians, and especially if you come from a more of the redneck fundamentalist variety, you think everybody's a rebel, and that blue hair, you are the biggest rebel that ever drew breath. Really? For some other people, on the right, to her group, she's cool. Or hip. Or whatever term they're using this 15 minutes. So to her group, that's, by the way, her group is usually a very small group. And don't get lost in the blue hair and the earrings and the weird dress, because this could manifest itself 50 different ways. But to her small group, she's trying, by the way, she's really the anti-rebel. The last thing she's doing is rebelling against anybody. She's trying to fit in someplace. Of course, by the way, I don't want the nodding this morning. I want you to do something about this. See, this is not a smile and nod. This is grandparents, parents starting to figure out, what do we do when we see this kind of behavior? Well, there's another way we could view this. I call it to her anti-group. When I say the anti-group, I mean the pretty, smart cheerleader types. She's an outcast. And by the way, Pastor Warren is fairly good at observing people. My wife and I were in Mexico in one of my favorite Maya ruins called Oxkintoc. We saw a group of Mexican kids, I'm going to guess 13, 14 girls, 30, 40 of them. My wife said, she pointed to one of the girls and said, that girl right there is the leader. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. I pointed to another young lady. I said, that's the queen bee. I said, you see, how do you know the queen bee? Who makes the decisions? They went up on the top of a pyramid. The one girl looked like she was in charge, but the one girl made the decision. She was the queen bee. So, have you felt like these groups? When I was in high school in the dark ages, Dave, this was even before your days. There were actually hippies back in those days. I was one of them. By the way, why were people hippies? Because we were rebels. Oh, we were rebels. No, that's what dumb fundamentalists said. What were we trying to do in high school when we were hippies? Fit in. Thank you very much. Which, by the way, tells you what, parents? I had parents that didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. Well, what I want to do this morning is I'm really not interested. If you're into this, you're going to have a problem in every area of your life, and you're going to have problems with just anything when it comes to people. Obviously, she's cool to a small group. She's an outcast to this group. What I want us to see this morning, to anybody who is a parent, grandparent, and a dozen other things, any kind of a relationship where you can have an influence on a young person, I want you to see this young lady as an opportunity. Because frankly, every child in this room, and I won't pick on any of the children this morning because I actually like the children, the younger, you know, our teens, and they're in here. I'm not dumb. They all feel insecure. How do you know they feel insecure? They're a teenager. It's part of being what you do. Instead of going down the road of doing all the dumb things we do, start thinking about what you can do to impact. You say, my child doesn't have this. Well, we'll find that out. By the way, we all do. Don't you remember what you were? Don't you remember the things you did? It's embarrassing the things we would do to fit in, be cool, whatever it's called. In your notes, insecurity, low self-esteem, or as Pastor Koch just said, being a teen. They all tend to blur together. It becomes very difficult to know the difference. We're going to look at fundamental issues of how they deal with feelings of insecurity, and specifically how they manifest in youth. And by the way, and not so young. You have your own tricks right now. If you never, I want to say this, parents and grandparents, if you haven't grown up, you still do things. You don't notice it. I'm going to talk about somebody in this room, in this church this morning. No one will know who it is. And they're not a teenager. Still manifesting the symptoms of being a teenager. Now, here's the problem with all that I'm going to say. When your child is in K4 or K5, if you have reasonably intelligent parents, you're going to come to me or Mrs. Vasilovich and say, my child is the next Einstein. Sharon? James Dobson says it in all of his books. Everybody thinks their kid is the smartest kid that ever drew breath. That'll all get washed out by third or fourth grade. Every bit of it. If you thought your child was your grandchild or child was an Einstein by third or fourth grade, you're going to find they're pretty average. By the way, most of us are pretty average. The problems don't happen here, though they start manifesting here. The problems start to grow in first, and by the time of sixth grade, they really start to manifest, but in our environment, they collapse in seventh grade. We start seeing children that do not socially fit in well. And this is when, parents should have been doing a few things before, but it becomes very obvious the child has problems. To me. And I think to most people that have eyes to see. Now, I've drawn this broadly from James Dobson. I'm not going to claim that I invent everything myself. I don't. I would be foolish to try to invent things myself. I call these common default positions are what to look for and then to do. So we're really looking for Parents and grandparents and friends and family, we're really looking for what to do for kids. If you think children are rebels, I hear you on Wednesday night in Awana yelling, because that's what kids are. That's your tool. I yell. Or if you're the opposite, by the way, all of this is going to manifest in itself in adults in two ways, yellers and criers. Are you a crier or are you a yeller? That tells you you have no clue and you're still back in your own childhood. You don't see me crying over a child. You don't have to, and I mean, when I talk about yelling, I'm not talking about raising your voice. I'm talking about yelling. Big difference. That's our own problems. In your notes, here's some common default positions. See if any of these you recognize. The fighter or the bully. This is the kid in school that goes into the bathroom and the other boy, I say it in your notes, this is usually a what? Yeah, this is almost always a boy. Girl, I guess they're girl bullies too. They don't usually beat a kid up in the bathroom. By the way, I'm doing the talking this morning. Trust me. I know you think the women are bullies. You haven't been a male in the bathroom in a public school when you're 4 years younger and guys are beating you up. Beating you up, I have. By the way, I became this bully because I didn't like people beating me up. And I can remember from about fourth grade on, because our little grade school went to eighth grade, and I had lots of guys because I was always bigger, and therefore I was the target. I can still look back at one of my grade school buddies' older brother. He loved to beat me up until I finally got bigger than him. Then he left me alone. By the way, bullies, I'm not saying there aren't girl bullies. Girl bullies are going to do it in different ways. And frankly, girl bullies, this is the group that's going to do it. They're going to look at your child that doesn't know how to adjust, and they're going to just go after them every day. Physically, maybe, in other ways. Normally, this is a boy. Normally. And I think it translates into this. If I can't be cool, I will beat up the cool one. Did y'all hear me? And trust me, a lot of them do. This person tends to be antisocial. Sometimes this is done in public, but often a bully does it behind the scenes. They're often a bully behind the scenes. So unless you're a parent or a grandparent that's really that's good at observing, you might not even know your child is doing this. By the way, the bully is here. Now, what I want you to recognize when you see bullying tendencies in your children and grandchildren, grandparents, do you know if you know your children have, your grandchildren have bullying habits? I can think of two of you that ought to today, because both of them are bullies. This is not a time to do this, grandma and grandpa, cry or yell. It's certainly not a time to think, well, they'll go through a phase. It's the beginning of time where you can start influencing grandchildren. Bullying primarily is about trying to fit in and have attention. And it's one of the ways boys, I'm not saying there aren't girls, but maybe some of you ladies haven't really been around guys beating the tar out of you. I have. And we've had it in this school. Yes. And sometimes it's done for good reasons. I won't get into those this morning. In your notes. This can become worse with age. You know, if a person's real antisocial and somebody doesn't do something that changes that. Now, some of it, by the way, obviously if your grandchild is bullying somebody, that child needs discipline. But it's not just about the rebellion. He's going to need some other things we're going to talk about later, obviously. Number two, the withdrawer. I'm going to give you an example. A couple years ago, there was a person who came to our school. I don't know why it was. I just happened to watch them. Now, see, you would never watch these weird things because I'm weird. Here it is. The person is walking down the hallway. Do you not recognize what that is? By the way, have you ever seen me walk down a hallway? Saw the same person walk to the gym. Now, if I walk to the gym, I walk to the gym. You say, why? Not too nervous. They walk to the gym. Now, the gym's a big building. If the gym was like this, and they were walking from this side to over here, they, no joke, walked along the edge, touching the edge, and then walked along the other edge to get out the door. I'm referring to somebody that comes to our church. That's an adult. That is an adult is still living as a teenager. That teenager, how they learned how to deal with this was they hugged walls. They hid out. They never grew up. Here's the problem. If you're one of those people, it's almost impossible to help somebody else. You're stuck. You don't know what to do with other people. You're still hugging walls. The withdrawal. That's my example. Hugging walls. Caution becomes his or her main word. Never take a chance. I mean, never take a chance. Never, this person never initiates a conversation, never enters a contest. By the way, this doesn't stop magic. This is one of the things that I think some parents think. They think, you know, if my kids have these problems when they're in seventh grade, you know, somehow magically in about ninth or tenth or maybe when they get to college, magically all this stuff goes away. Really? Some people can't even go to a restaurant that they haven't been to before because they have to be in control of their circumstances. And the way they do that is by going down very, very, very beaten paths. That's safety. So they never initiate a conversation. They never enter a contest. They never ask for anything. If they're married and if they're a woman, they never defend their rights. These are the kind of people that get married and they have somebody abuse them in one way or another, and they never try something new, ever. Everything has to be safe, 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 and safe. The withdrawer. Now I'm going to give you another example. This is a little touchier, so you'll have to, don't get angry at me. You can get angry, I don't care. You start to see this in seventh grade. I start to see it with young ladies specifically. This is more of a young lady problem, though it's not unique. You'll start seeing young ladies starting to withdraw already. And you're going to think this is a good thing. They start withdrawing in the novels. And when I come to class, Brian, you follow me in my Bible class. Some of the young ladies walk into your class, and here's parents have no idea. They have a novel. So the parent thinks, wonderful, my child's reading. Number one, they're reading escapist literature. And number two, they're using that escapist literature to escape even within a classroom. They do not know how to function in public. Brian, two or three girls I've seen walk into your classroom with their book. They go over, they don't talk to anybody, they won't even say hi to me. They sit down and they look at that book. Parents, you ought to be hearing beep, 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 beep. You ought to be thinking something's not good. That's an opportunity because this person, how they're reacting is not the bullying, they're just going to withdraw. So when they get married, guess what they do when there's a problem? They withdraw. Number three. I'm sorry to have to say this one, the clown. By the way, I consider the clown no different than the bully. Clowns are usually boys. And I'm not saying people that are humorous. We're not talking about humor. We're talking about a clown. In your notes, I put some verses about humor. Humor is a very good thing. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. As I say in your notes, humor is good. I would even say very good. But the clown is not about humor, friend. It's not about funny. It's not about something that they saw in life that was funny. The clown is doing this for one reason and one reason only, to do what? Fit in. Have you ever, he died last year. I don't want to bring this up to pop culture, and please don't say anything. Robin Williams. First time I saw Robin Williams, I think this guy must be, this is two decades ago. He was the most gifted guy I ever seen. He could go from talking like this person to this person to this person, back to this person to this person, and until one day I realized something. Are you listening? Who is Robin Williams? And obviously, he didn't know, and when he got all alone, he ended up ending his life. Don't you ever think a clown is normal behavior? That's an anti-normal behavior. That is a cry for help. Again, we're not talking about humor. Humor is a good thing. The clown is obviously crying out for help because they feel insufficient in themselves. And by the way, they are insufficient in themselves. How many comedians end up dying from overdoses? And you think, well, these comedians are funny. Funny? I think it's nothing to do with humor. In your notes, clowns are usually disruptors in a classroom. They like to clown around. They have a difficulty normally. They usually have difficulty with reading, with mathematics, with school. They oftentimes have problems with dating, girls specifically. So, by the way, they try to humor girls into laughing at them. And, of course, oftentimes they have problems with sports. And even sports, I say. Humor for the clown is a distraction. It's anything to change the subject, to distract us. The more gross it is, the more weird it is, the more risky it is, the more odd it is, that's what the clown does. And friend, have you ever noticed something? When you look at comedians, regardless of who they are, I'm talking about professional comedians, almost all of them, have you never noticed anything? What do you notice? Most comedians, they have a hard time being serious, but what do you notice about them physically, usually? Something about them is odd. Jay Leno had a jaw that stuck out 8 feet. If you're old like me, Jimmy Durante had 3 people's nose. Phyllis Diller, no joke. That's a long time ago. Well known that she had a problem with how she looked. Here's the thing. You're laughing at her, but inside these people are not laughing. Now, here's your problem. You have a child that's odd. You going to let him be a clown? What you going to do for the clown? You're a rebel! That's going to help that child. Did you ever notice some of us only have one tool, screaming or crying? Pastor Cork and I talk about watching parents sometimes. It's like, do we only got 2 tools? We either scream or we cry, and neither one of them help the kid? Weird. The clown scares me. By the way, normally it's males, but there are women too. And normally, they're dealing with, it's obvious they're dealing with physical stuff. By the way, where does a daughter, I'm going to ask the fathers here. If you got a daughter, where does that daughter get her sense of security from? From dad. And the daughter, over time, knows for sure exactly what dad thinks of her. Therefore, she projects at every place. All right, well, number four, the denier or the daydreamer. The denier or the daydreamer, and maybe this is similar to the drawer, this person simply checks out. I mean, they check out in multiple ways. I find that most males that are daydreamers or deniers, and if this hits home, I'm sorry, because remember, we're talking to everybody because everybody needs to deal with this. Almost without exception, if you see a male that's a denier or a daydreamer, he almost without exception is into fantasy and sci-fi. Because that seems to be part. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fantasy or sci-fi. Don't take this. I'm talking about his life becomes a second life outside of the life he has. It's weird. You know, all right, so you read Tolkien. Wonderful. But if I came into your house, I don't really want to see a room, you know, made up with Tolkien. Or worse. But you find people live in this world because that's one of the ways they kind of deal with this stuff. So that's the certain kind of reading. It could be any number of things. By the way, it could also be, and this might not make some of you happy, vast majority of Christian women, the only thing they ever read is stuff that they have no need to read. Romance novels are worse. Back in the 80s, I read a woman that worked at the lab brought me a book. She read a book by Danielle Steele. I don't know who this person is. And Danielle Steele is just filthy. Pretty simple. Then I started recognizing Christian women read stuff like that. You know what that is? What is it? It's somebody daydreaming. As I say in your notes, remember, denial is not a river in Egypt. I hope you understand that. You can also see this with alcohol, drugs, and food. Don't kid yourself. Alcohol and drugs and food have the same thing in common. They're a way of withdrawing into self and not dealing with the real world. Obviously, this is how I know this impacts our seniors. Some of you live in TV. Pastor Kwakin was so angry. I don't ever get this guy angry. He wasn't angry at me, but he was angry about the foolishness he's found out about people cannot turn the TV off even to talk to their children. Their life is their TV. Yeah, that'd make me mad too. The conformer. By the way, the conformer is this girl right here, the blue hair. This is not the rebel, friend. This is the conformer. Please. When I was in high school, it's so funny looking around here because today we don't have two cultures. Remember, in the 60s, there used to be the old folks and then there were the cool folks, the young people. I remember thinking it was the coolest thing since sliced bread that the girls would part their hair in the middle and then they'd take two pieces back like this. That's our age, right? You don't remember, but she does. Do you know how stupid that looks when you look at a yearbook now and every girl, every rebel has the same hairdo? And yet I used to hear preaching by fundamentalist preachers about those rebels. No, we were a bunch of conformers trying to fit in. And fitting in within some limits is okay. You know, I mean, there's a piece of that you have to survive in society. But the conformer in your notes is this. This individual, how do I say this, has no personality, has no individuality. I'll give you three words. Has no personality, individuality, has no opinions. They just fit in. The individual fears above all else two things, rejection and ridicule. The individual fears above all else rejection and ridicule. And please, before you turn your notes, look up here. And this doesn't stop when you're 18. There are people here that would never, look here, if this is your abode, you are never stepping outside of your comfort zone because the moment you do, your whole life has been trying to avoid rejection and ridicule. For me, I'm obnoxious. Go ahead and reject me. Go ahead and ridicule me. If you're a pastor and you can't deal with that, you're not in the ministry. But friend, this is not a pretty thing when this stuff floats around in kids. Next, I don't know if the next one is different or the same. Sorry to say, I put it on here because I see it in some young people. It might be just the conformer. Also is the chameleon. This individual fits in everywhere and with everyone because he or she becomes what? Everyone or anyone. That should be two words there. I messed up in my spelling. She becomes everyone or anyone. That's the chameleon. Do you know any chameleons? Tim Kwok, you know a chameleon right now, don't you? You know who I'm thinking about without me talking to you. This young girl manifested this because of the lack of a relationship with her dad when she was in, what, fifth grade? She could be with you, she'd be talking Bible. If she was with her, she'd be talking whatever. She was in every place she went, she just blended right into that. She was a total chameleon. Problem is, this young lady is not a kid anymore, and she's still a chameleon. So if you meet her, you think she's one of you. There's no individual identity. Is that a problem any of the adults have here? Here's the problem with everything I've talked about. This stuff doesn't go away when you get older. You find ways of submerging it. You have your own house so you can hide. You have your 80-inch TV so you can watch it 24/7. You have your video games. You have your toys. You have all the things you do, but nothing's changed. Put you in an uncomfortable position and you are scared to death. Well, in your notes, this is where we want to go. Got 15 minutes to do it. That's nice. The compensator. There is no such person as a compensator, by the way. I say in your notes, this teen exists only because of parents, primarily. This teen can only exist because of parents, primarily, and teachers, youth pastors, pastors, mentors, grandparents, whoever else, secondarily. James Dobson has this quote. I think this is one of the best quotes I've personally ever read. He said, "We are not what we think we are. We are not what others think we are. We are what we think others think we are." And if you don't believe that's true, friend, when you're around teenagers, it is a never-ending game. And it's a never-ending game with adults. But adults have learned ways to kind of hedge their bets a little bit. The compensator. This is where now, everyone look at me, this is where now, do you know who's the bullies of your grandchildren? The clown. Do you know who these people are? This is where you now start taking a role. Doesn't do us any good to take notes. Now we have to do something. This is where, and by the way, some of this you can't do for a child. Some of this you can point to it, which I'm going to do. The third part you can do for a child. And by the way, if we're not going to do this, then you shouldn't be here. Because this is what you do. This is not going back to your TV and turning it on and watching more TV. This is doing something. I believe, as a Christian, this is where we find meaning. And I do not have time to talk about all three parts of these. First of all, we are complete in Christ. And every child and every young person needs to recognize that in Christ, and there's more verses and concepts than this, but in Christ we are complete. Therefore, you don't have to be nervous, afraid, scared, and all of that stuff. Why? For in him dwelleth all the fullness, the pleroma, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Pepleromenoi, you have been completed, you have been filled up in Christ. Children need to know that. But may I say this, if you're a parent that hasn't got a hold of this, it's hard to take your child. If you're withdrawing, you're the person that walks down the hallway like this. You're the person that walks into a place and just zones out as if nobody's around because you're in your own little existence. It's kind of hard to start talking to your child about being complete in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I think that means what it says. You have everything you will ever need in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue. So friend, your children need to know. Actually, I could step back and talk about the Imago Dei. We're made in the image of God. Therefore, we have value inherently. When a kid gets saved, they not only have the Imago Dei, the image of God, they have salvation. They have all that Christ, they'll ever need in Christ. Kids need to know this. You need to know this. This is not where I'm going to focus today, but we all need to know it. Now, there's something that's not in your notes. We're going to go to the second level of this. Where do children, when you walk out into public, what gives you confidence? What ought to give you confidence, and what should be the grounding of your confidence is Christ. That's the center of confidence, friend. Anything apart from that's not a Christian answer. There's a second level, though. But I'm going to put on the board because this is where you really find your confidence. Academics, beauty, every teenager that walks in a room knows where they stack up in those three areas. Everyone. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We'll expand on this, but my friend, those are the three. Now, when you get a little older, you can be an old man when you're 40. We have some here. I can't do that. My back hurts. My knees hurt. You can just play the old man card. But when you're young, you can't play that card. Every place you go, people are looking at you. How strong are you? How fast are you? By the way, let's translate these from Greek into English. How smart are you? Now, you can put your kids and take them through the Mensa test, but when the bottom line is everybody in every class knows who's the smartest person. And they're judged by that kind of thing. And welcome to reality. You can't get away from it. That's the reason we get our little devices and suck down. Watch people in church. You ought to go to the balcony, watch people in church, and watch the watchers, like Frenchie, because that's a technique too. And all of a sudden you realize we got lots of people that just disassociate from reality right in church. Don't even know they're doing it. They've been using this technique their whole life because somewhere along the line they didn't quite stack up with the brains. Or they didn't quite stack up with, you know, how, whatever, fast, strong, whatever else it is. And by the way, folks, do you not remember this stuff? Do you not remember when they chose for, well, they don't even do it anymore because we don't play sports. Back in the dark ages, we used to have softball. How would you like to be the person that's always chosen last? Forgive me, ladies, back in my day. No, we wouldn't say this day. It's not politically correct. The girls were chosen before you. If you were a guy. Now, athletics dims a little bit, except if the guy has no physicality, every place he goes, he has to wear things that cover him. How smart are you? And listen here, guys don't struggle with this as much because guys are basically ugly. I'm looking around the room. Guys suffer a little bit from that. Guys are here and are here. Girls live here their whole life. And you know where you stack up. There's a second level of this, complete from Christ. We have all things in Christ, and then Christ gives us certain things. I'm not going to get into whether that happens at birth or at salvation or both. Makes no difference. For I say through the grace given unto me, Paul says, to every man that is among you, have you ever talked to your children about this verse? Not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think. Have you ever talked to your children about not having the wrong opinion of themselves? But to think soberly. Do you realize you ought to have conversations with your children and grandchildren about who they really are and not who they really aren't? According as God hath dealt to every man or woman the measure of faith. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And of course, to the church, in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But the idea being for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the many, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come someplace. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the various gifts, and this was a small limitation to the local church idea, but he does it in verse 7, to profit with all. In verse 11, as he will. In verse 18, as it hath pleased him. In verse 28, it says, and God has set some in the church. Friends, I'm going to say this in a moment, but think about this. From the day your children are born, but see, here's the problem. If you're still struggling with all this stuff yourself, you have a real hard time talking to someone else. Let me say this. Hard to be a parent when you're not grown up yourself. It's hard to be a grandparent when you're not grown up and you're still worrying about what people think of you and who thinks you're pretty and who thinks you're smart and who thinks you're whatever. You need to start dealing with asking questions and looking at this with your children and looking soberly. I'm pretty sure that God has given gifts to every single young person. What do you think? Some kind of gifts. And they might have a combination of these. None of us are going to stack up here. Fathers, I'm embarrassed when I realize most fathers never talk to their daughters about this kind of thing. Wow, never? Girls have all kinds of way of manifesting that. We'll go on to the next concept because this is where we apply. Complete through Christ emissaries. And when I talk about Christ emissaries, I'm talking about moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, mentors, pastors, people in the church that always looking to encourage a young person, always looking to bring out something good in a young person. I mean, these are essential kinds of things. In your notes, under the verses, this is going to look like this. First of all, finding the child's gifts. Now, if you're one of those people that always looks at a child and says this, you are so wonderful, after a while, that has the opposite impact. That is flattery, not praise. Praise is for accomplishment. Flattery is really more about the person speaking. Soberly, find the child's gifts. You pretty quickly find out. Mike Hall has a lovely daughter. I like her. She was mean to me last night. She sent me a text. I told her, you know, yesterday was what day? Some of you know. You watch it on television. I sent her a text, and I said, because her and her mom together, and I said, now, Scary, don't you and your mom eat too much pie today. So she emailed me back, and she said, we have driven, or they drove, didn't they? She said how many pie miles she has driven. Now, see, some of you think when you find a child's gifts, that means flattering them. You're wonderful. No. You actually find their gifts. Carrie Hall is not real good in social settings. To try to say, Carrie, you are the... Does she have brains? Do need to ask that question. She came by him honestly. From her mother. Is it true? I mean, Mike's not dumb, but I mean, if you see Carrie and you see the mom, you're like, good grief. They have that super, super methodical brain and focus. They can just work through problems forever. By the way, I could see that in high school. Could you? Oh, you say, I thought she was going to be athletic and be a basketball player. Really? Really? See, if you're a flatter, see, some of you will walk away from this. Some of you are going to walk away from this thinking Pastor Warren's teaching you to flatter your children. No. Actually find what their gifts are. That's what you got to do. It's the first step. Try to find out, and most of them are gifted. I was down in Christie's class taking my water and stuff around, and I got three guys. And I actually like quite a few of the kids in that class, but I love three guys in there. They're buddies. Nathaniel, Henry, Junior, your junior, and Tyrese. I just love to watch those guys. Nathaniel wants to succeed so much. If he doesn't succeed in math, he cries. But it isn't the kind of crying you're thinking about. He cries because he wants to excel. I don't know how good Tyrese is, but I think all three of them are good at math. I walked up by Tyrese. Now, of course, Tyrese isn't. How old is he, Amy, fifth? He looks like he plays linebacker for the Bears. I walked up to Tyrese, and I love that guy. I've loved him since K-4. I walked up to him the other day, and I said, Tyrese, are you any good at math? And he looked at me and smiled, and he said, yes. Can I tell you something, folks? You need to learn to find the gifts that your children have. Not the ones you wish they had. Not what you wish you had. Not living your life through the child, just finding their gifts. Secondly, and this, obviously, enhancing the child's gifts. Does that make sense? So if you find your child has some ability in math, find some way of pouring fire on that. Find some way of enhancing that gift or gifts. And we don't have time to discuss all the different abilities. I just look at academics, but there's all kinds of pieces to this. If I was going to talk about beauty, let's be real. I would make sure my daughter felt reasonably good with the way she looked. I would find whatever it costs, whatever it takes, as a dad, aren't you going to do that or are you going to be a bonehead? That's what dads do, I thought. Some girls don't struggle with this, but most girls do. And as much as possible within limits. I'm not talking about freaky stuff you see in Hollywood. I'm not talking about plastic surgery, just enhancing. You learn to enhance what they have. Next. This one's harder. Eliminating the child's deficiencies. Children are going to have tendencies. I don't care who the child is. The child is going to have a tendency to clown. They're going to have a tendency to withdraw, chameleon, bully. And what you have to do in this mix of finding their gifts and enhancing those gifts as much as possible, then you move to what are their weaknesses? Well, they're not very athletic. They can't run. Or they can't catch. Emily, can I say something about this? Or you won't get offended, will you? Now, see, I think Emily's almost perfect. But as far as I know, she's almost perfect with the exception of one decision. Do we need to discuss that? No, we don't need to discuss that. I threw her a water bottle the other day, and I did not know that catching water bottles is not her thing. She went, and that's fine. I whacked her with a water bottle, I did. By the way, if you have a child and they're not real good at that kind of thing, you do what you can to enhance as much as possible. Get them in programs. Do things. I got to hurry because we're going to be 2 or 3 minutes late as it is. Lastly, adding, here's really the whole Sunday school. Are you all ready? Adding to the child's gifts some efficiencies, some things that make them unique. Put another word down there, something that compensates. Something that compensates. I'm going to give you some possibilities. Some of you know that I do this for our children in this church. And I'm not their dad or their grandfather. How about this one? Martial arts. That's in the middle, actually. Sorry. On the left is musical training. I think musical training is always good for a lot of kids. You say, I'm not going to play. By the way, you can't do this. Look at me, friends. You can't do this for 3 minutes on the way out. Well, my 8-year-old doesn't want to play piano anymore, so we're quitting. That's more about the parent than it is the child. Be an adult. Be a parent. By the way, you're trying to add something to the child's life that's kind of outside these things. Add some abilities that don't really fit into academics or athletics or beauty that gives them some. Look at me. When they walk in a room, they know something. James Dobson says it this way. He says, when I was a kid, my parents got me into tennis, and I was better than tennis and anybody in our high school. And it gave me confidence not to be an idiot. What have you done for your children or your grandchildren? Musical training, martial arts is very good. I know it's good for boys. And if you go to a good school that's a classical school, it just eliminates the bullying stuff altogether. There are no bullies in a traditional martial arts school. That's taken care of, trust me. Some sort in your onto the right, a select skill. Some sort of skill that gives. Now, by the way, you're trying to enhance their academics. You're trying to enhance their athletics. You're trying to enhance the beauty in the proper ways. But you're also trying to add something to them. Some sort of a skill that normal kids don't have. How does that sound? We came to this church in 1996. My son was going into seventh grade. You guys came in 1998. When we came to this church, I knew John. By the way, is John smart? Yeah. Athletic? Nah, he's okay. About like normal guy. Okay. Well, we won't go to the beauty. Guys are just ugly in general. What did I do? I knew he had ability in singing. Oh, what I failed to tell you is lots of people have ability in singing, but their parents did nothing to do with that. So we knew he had some ability, and then along came this family with a girl that had some ability in singing. So we kind of sacrificed to make sure we didn't have me teach them how to sing. My wife and Deb took them to Lyric Opera, had professional training for years. By the way, John does not have a problem with intimidation. May 15th, at the college he teaches at, he is the teacher of the year this year. Some of that comes from being a, look at me, deadheads, a parent. Turn the gunk off. Quit bragging on your kids. That's not what this is about. Did John want to do voice every week? But we're parents. We're not the children. He's the child. There's so many things. Some kind of a select skill, I think, is very helpful. Some kind of a select expertise. Some kind of an expertise, and maybe that's a skill also, a select expertise. Yesterday, I'm not going to tell you who, but I texted somebody in the church, and a family member in their family texted back to me. And I paid that family member a compliment because their parents have taken that person and given her an expertise that I don't have. These are parents that are thinking, not parents who are watching television, our grandparents. So when she walks into a room, is she the most beautiful? That's hard to be the most. She can be attractive enough. Smart, she's smart. Athletic, I'm not as sure, but she has a skill that almost nobody else has. That's what you do. You give them efficient, you give them something that sets them apart. So, I'll say this quickly. A select skill, a select expertise, and you can do this. A select experience. You can get your children involved in certain experiences that make them somewhat unique. Now, I have to qualify and we're going to be done. Not 25 efficiencies. Please, here's what's weird. In this room, this is not, I'm not angry at anybody. I know where this church is. This church is a very diverse church, not just in the skin tone. A lot of the whites come from the lower class. It's very obvious. When I pastored in St. Louis, I would never talk about this because this was the schedule of the average child. 4 o'clock was martial arts, 5 o'clock was soccer, 6 o'clock was violin. The kids never breathed. That's not what I'm talking about because your children will hate all of them. They need one or two, maybe three, things that make them, when I walk into a room, I got something no one else has. They don't even think about it after a while. They feel confident in who they are. You spotted another child, you help that child, you say, well, they're not my child. What are you? You're always encouraging, helping, giving somebody. Now, here's the tough one. The last statement is the toughest of all. It must be something, how do I have it stated? Something that child, it has to be something that child feels like makes them unique. It cannot be what you think makes them unique. You might give them some good romance novels to read, and then they use that to escape. By the way, folks, everything I talked about today, and I am now done, please look at me. You cannot determine watching your television. Here's how you determine. Watching your child. Watching children. Watch how they interact. And then start finding their gifts. Enhancing their gifts. Eliminating as much as possible any weaknesses academically. By the way, don't have to be Einstein. Just eliminate the weaknesses. Do whatever you have to do. Whatever it is. Do as much as you can athletic. As much as you can here. And then add to their lives some sort of thing that compensates, one or two or three. By the way, this will make the difference between success and failure with your children and your grandchildren. So, I want you to leave here and be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Bless today, I ask in Jesus' name.